Hey guys, it's so good to be with y'all this evening. This thing, I'm going to turn it. Is that cool? Can I do that? All right, you stay there. Good to be with you guys. Known Cliff since 2010, I think, is when we sat down. How many of you've had a lunch with Cliff? How many of you have had like a 3-hour lunch with Cliff? Okay, 4-hour lunch with Cliff. 5 hours. Cliff has $100 for you if it's been 5+. I'm kidding. But I know that there's a lot of us in the room who have had that sit-down lunch with Cliff, and I just love Cliff's heart and his passion for young people, his desire to see them grow in Christ. It reminds me a lot of the Apostle Paul, and I love the Apostle Paul. I also know Pastor Philip, Reverend Bethencourt, Bishop Bethencourt, Bishop Bethencourt, and he's just a phenomenal communicator, teacher, but I know he is an even more amazing man and follower of Jesus, and so I'm just grateful to be with you guys. I just want to take 2.5 hours just to share a little bit from the scriptures and share my story with you guys. I'm kidding, not 2.5 hours, just a few minutes, and so if you're here with me, let's go to Genesis. Go with me to Genesis. I know Cliff sent out a massive email and said, bring your Bibles, like your paper Bibles, like a real one, not your phone Bible. So if you brought that, go to Genesis. We're in the promised land. Is that what you guys call it? Like, right? Isn't College Station the promised land? Like Joshua marched with the Israelites on this territory. Isn't that right? Go to the maps in the back of your Bible. And I'm kidding. This is the promised land, man, Aggieland, Genesis 1. I wish I could have been in a school like this. If I did, I don't think I would be here right now. I think I'd be on a downward spiral path if I had done a big university like this. God just had different plans for me, but I wish I could have had this kind of experience. So for you guys that are here, man, take every single advantage that you have. Genesis 1. And we'll start in verse 1 in my Bible. It's on page 1, Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's skip down to verse 26. How's that for ADD? Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Turn the page and go to Genesis 2, verse 15. Genesis 2, verse 15. If you need to hear it, go ahead. That's cool too. Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. We'll stop there. We're going to look at a few different passages tonight, and then we'll get rolling into what is next on the agenda. But before we jump in, I want you guys, all right, tell me if you've heard this one. Okay, tell me if you've heard this. If you know it, don't say the answer, okay? If you know it, don't say the answer. What do you call a skeleton's hunger? What do you call a skeleton's hunger? Anybody ever heard it? Bon appetit. Bon appetit. Dad joke Friday night. Dad joke Friday night, man. And you really, if you're not a dad, you really don't come into the fullness of understanding the dad jokes until you become a dad. And the older they get, the more you grow in your dad joke abilities. That was my dad joke for y'all tonight. I want to take a moment and just talk to you guys from that theme, appetite, our appetite. Not so much about our physical appetite, but more importantly, our spiritual appetite. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you so much. God, we thank you just for who you are. God, we thank you for, Lord, just that time of worship, God. That was just genuine, real, authentic. God, where a group of men could come together and lift up the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. So God, I thank you for the moments that we share. I thank you for the testimony that was shared by Joe. God, I'm so thankful for the life transformation that only you can do. God, would you continue to work in our hearts tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, God, all weekend long. Lord, would you just work in our hearts, and may we allow you in to those places and spaces inside where maybe we haven't let you in yet. We love you so much. I ask all these things in your name. Amen. The dictionary defines the word appetite as this. Number one, a natural desire to satisfy a bodily need, especially for food. And two, a strong desire or liking for something. A strong desire or liking for something. Genesis 1 and 2 reminds us that God created. God created. And he created because he had a desire. He had, if you will, an appetite for creation and mankind. In other words, God had a strong desire and liking to us. So his appetite. Then God said, let us make man. Let us make man. But his action was, so God created man and woman. He took the dirt off the ground and breathed into man the breath of life. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, appetite leads to action. Appetite leads to action. In fact, appetite always leads to action. So God's hunger, God's desire led him to action. Appetite is God-given. Our appetite is given to us by God. Our appetite is a good thing. You and I are made in the image of God. And it is a good thing to know, right, when we need some fuego, right? It's a good thing to know when we need, I don't know, a Big Mac with extra mac sauce. I don't know. And a 10-piece. Like, it's a good thing when we know we're hungry. But it's an even better thing to know when there is a hunger and a desire for spiritual nourishment through Christ. It's even better to know when there is a hunger and a desire for spiritual nourishment. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is coming out, right? And he's about to start doing his thing. He's about to start doing his public ministry. Matthew chapter 5, he goes up on the side of a mountain, which is now known this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, here's some of the things that he opens with and says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be satisfied. He's saying in this sermon, this appetite that I've given you, this desire that's in every person, this desire that's in every man, hey, aim it. Put the crosshairs, man, of that appetite on righteousness and righteousness alone. And I promise you, you will be filled. You will be satisfied. But here's the challenge. If you continue reading Genesis 1, Genesis 2, and then you get to Genesis 3, you'll see this. Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be, look at this word, desired. That the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate of it. And so from that point on, humanity has been battling with the flesh and with the spirit. We've been in this constant battle with our appetite to go, man, how do I satisfy? Man, how do I feel this desire? How do I fulfill this desire that I have? How do I fulfill this hunger that I have? Where do I go? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. And so the tension that we live in is that because of the fall, we're all born in sin, our flesh is weak, and our desire is to gratify the flesh rather than our faith. And I'm really passionate about this, to be honest with you guys, because this is a huge part of my story. A huge part of my story. And I'm here tonight, one, because I've been asked to share my story with you guys, so I just need to be obedient to that request. But two, I think many of you can relate with my story. I grew up born and raised in San Antonio. Come on, 210, baby. I know there's a lot more guys from San Antonio. Come on, where you at? San Antonio, Texas. I grew up in a really small private school, okay? Went from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, senior in high school, okay? The years that I was were in this private school, there was about 80 kids in the whole school. Kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, okay? One year, let me give it to you this way. This is facts. One year, there was a graduating class, a senior class of one. He was valedictorian. He was top 1%. He had the highest GPA in his class. Man, he thought he was all that. One guy, promise you. Personally, I was pretty, growing up in this school, I had to memorize scripture. I had to do all the Christian things. Man, it was just kind of routine for me. I also grew up playing basketball, and I was pretty decent at it. And so I started playing from a young age, got picked out to come and start traveling with some teams and doing the whole AAU thing. And so by the time that I was in eighth grade, a few coaches had convinced my parents to take me out of that private school and throw me into public school. And so back in the day, 2004, when I walked into my freshman year of high school, I went to one of the largest public high schools in the San Antonio area, O'Connor High School. And I stepped foot on that campus, y'all, as a 14-year-old dude, and I was like, whoa. Like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, this is insane. Like, this is like a little town. It's like a city in here. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Aladdin, but Aladdin said it right. He said it's a whole new world. And, like, that's what I was walking into, man. It was just a whole new world. And so from the time that I was 14 till I was 19, guys, these were seriously the years that my appetite, my spiritual appetite, was tested. Was challenged, because what I soon realized was that the faith that I had, or I thought I had, was not a faith of my own. It was a faith that my parents had, faith that my teachers had, faith that other people had, but it wasn't something that I had owned for myself. So freshman year of high school, I start having sex with girls. Freshman year of high school, I would get so drunk I'd wake up with vomit on my clothes. Freshman year of high school, I started smoking weed. I tried cocaine. I took pills for the first time. Freshman year of high school. And as my time in high school went on, I started to want that more and more and more and more. And by the time I graduated high school, the only thing that was on my mind was living that kind of life. So boom, graduated, 18 years old. I said, see you, Mom, I'm out. Moving out. Got a house, rented a house with some buddies who could care less about faith and God or anything like that. All they wanted to do was drugs, party, and I went full force into that. And to be honest with you, I liked it. I liked it, because the truth is, the more you give in to the appetite of sin, the more you crave the things of the flesh. And I'm telling you, appetite always leads to action. We're always led to action. And secondly, one, appetite leads to action. Two, you crave what you consume. You crave what you consume. Man, guys, I'm telling you that something that started out as occasionally freshman year became something that was like a weekend thing. And I was always looking forward to Friday night. Always looking forward to Friday night. And what was a Friday night only type of thing turned into a, hey man, after seventh period, let's go off campus and get high real quick. Hey man, call her up, let's get them up, let's go hang out after class today. Let's see what we can make happen today. It became a daily, man, just consumed my every single day. It was what I thought about, it was what I craved, and I consumed it. And since the fall of man in Genesis 3, it has been the constant struggle for us to have an appetite and crave the things of God. We battle with it. We struggle with it. So maybe you're in here, and maybe you've told yourself things like, man, it's just a little bit of porn. What's the big deal? Man, I only drink and go hard in the paint on the weekends. Only on the weekends. Yeah, I'm dating her, me and my girlfriend, we do everything but sex. We just do everything but. It's just a few pills here and there. It's just a few pills here and there. I told myself at 18, 19 years old, y'all, I made these statements, man. Like, I was so grown and so mature and so wise. I said, man, I've got this under control. I've got it. I'm good. I can handle this. I can control this. I can stop whenever I want to. I'm good. It's all good. When the truth was, I was going down a path that only leads to destruction. Only leads to destruction. I love the wisdom literature section of the Bible, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. It says this, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. There's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Wisdom tells us to do this. Wisdom tells us to do a double take. Wisdom tells us to look again. Any single guys in the room? Single guys, raise your hand. Wave it in the air. Come on, be confident in your singleness. It's all good. You'll meet her someday. But hey, you ever been eating at Chipotle? Anybody here like Chipotle? Come on. Amen. Praise God for Chipotle. But you ever eaten at Chipotle and she walks in? Know what I'm saying? She walks in and you're like, man, she's eating healthy. She just probably just got done at the gym. She cares about her fitness and, you know, all that stuff. And so you're looking and you see her, she's cute. And so what do? Don't lie. We're in church. You do a double take, don't you? You do a double, you look, and then you look again. And if you're really about it, you'll walk up to the cash register and you'll be like, hey, let me buy you that chicken bowl. Let me get you. You want guac? Go ahead and grab guac. I got you. I know it's extra. I got it. Go ahead. You want chips and a drink? Man, get you a drink. Don't get that water cup. Put that back. I got you. Right? We do. A double take. When it comes to our appetite, desire, actions, and decisions, Scripture teaches us to look again. Look again. And in our day in and our day out choices and living, our faith reminds us that we are no longer slaves to sin. Rather, we are sons of God. And you always have to be looking again and telling yourself, I am not a slave to sin, and I am a child of God. I'm not a slave to sin. I love the way Paul writes it again in Galatians chapter 2. Here's what he says, verse 20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. Y'all have heard this before. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. By faith, Paul developed a hunger and a desire for Christ. And what mattered most to Paul was his appetite for grace, God's love, and God's plan. Right? It's kind of like being a Longhorn fan or a Baylor Bear fan, right? Like it just pales in comparison to being a fighting Texas Aggie, right? Like it just doesn't come close. It just doesn't come close when you've tasted and seen the goodness of God. So number one, appetite always leads to action. Number two, you crave what you consume. And lastly, I want to encourage you guys, feed your faith. Feed your faith. We need no help feeding our flesh. Am I right? Nobody has to come alongside us and say, hey, look, come ahead, Timmy. Oh, go ahead, feed your flesh. Go ahead, yet do that sin. Go ahead. Here, let me show you how to do it. Nobody has to come alongside and tell you you can do it all by yourself, all on your own. And you've done it, and we've done it from a very, very young age. I got a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and they are sinners to the max. And they need salvation. They need Jesus. We all have 4.0s in sin. We're all PhD masters in sin. But as followers of Jesus, it's imperative that we begin to cultivate habits and practices that feed our faith. You have to. You've got to cultivate practices and put yourself in places and environments that feed your faith. So 19 years old, right? I'm 19 years old. I've been living this wild, crazy, messed up life for about 5 years. It's September of 2009. The lease was up on that house that I had moved out in. They didn't want to re-up. Everyone was kind of going their own ways. So I was like, what am I going to do? So I moved in with my dad. Like, I guess I'll go back home. Hey, Dad, you still got my room? So I moved back in with my dad. And now I'm not the life of the party anymore, right? Like now I'm not in a place where it's just like party central every single night, Monday through Sunday. So I'm sitting in my room at my dad's house, September of 2009. Remember it like it was yesterday. September of 2009. I'm sitting, it's like 2 a.m. in the morning. A few days before that, I had just created a Facebook. Anybody know what that is? Facebook. I had just got an account. I had a few friends on Facebook. 2 a.m., I hop on Facebook. One of the friends that I was with had shared a song. It was an old Christian song that had been written. It was called I Exalt Thee. And there was a new upcoming band by the name of Jesus Culture that I had never heard of, but they had took that song and they had kind of done their own version of it. And so I just clicked on it. No idea why. Guys, I was not looking for God. I was not searching for God. I was not going, man, I need me some Jesus right now. I was not doing that at all. I clicked on that video, and this song came on, and in minutes, I just broke down. I just broke down, and I began to cry. I just begin to weep and weep. I mean, can you imagine if you're on the outside, like looking at me, like in my room by myself, 2 a.m., sitting there and then just start crying? That's kind of weird. But that's what I was doing. And I can honestly tell you guys, man, I just felt the Holy Spirit, man, fill that room that night, all alone, by myself, not searching, not looking. Man, but God was running after me. God had been chasing after me. God had been pursuing me. Man, God had always been loving me even when I had turned my back and rejected him. He was there. And I fell down and I said, all right, I'm done. Okay, I'm done. I'll surrender. You can have it. You can have my life. You can have my plans. You can have every, you take it and do whatever you want with my life. I'm done trying to run this thing. I'm done trying to do what I want to do. I'm done trying to be in control. You can have my life. And I just felt a big bear hug from Jesus that night. And it's those words in Galatians 2:20. I just said, all right, the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's the same with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 when they sinned and they fell. What did they do? They ran and they hid. And guess what? God pursued them. God went after them. Genesis 3:7, then the eyes of both were opened and they knew they were naked and they sewed the fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and the wife and his wife, what did they do? Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, where are you? Where are you? God, in all his grace and love, called out to Adam and Eve. God, in all his grace and love, called out to me that night, September 2009, in my room. And God, in all his love, in all his grace, is calling out to you right here, right now. John chapter 15, it's John that reminds us that apart from God, we can do nothing. We think we're doing something. Maybe some people tell you you're doing something, but you're not really doing anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's foolishness to think we've outmaneuvered God. It's foolishness to think that we've dodged him. It's foolishness to think we can continue gratifying our flesh without breaking the heart of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. So when we embrace the words of the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Man, the gift of faith, guys, I'll tell you what, the gift of faith produces freedom in your life. Man, the gift of faith produces true freedom in my life. Oh, I thought I was free at 15, at 16, at 17, at 18, doing anything, doing whatever I wanted, when I wanted, with who I wanted. I thought that was freedom. When in fact, it was bondage. It was a trap, man. That suckered me into it and went all in. But man, when I said, God, I'm done. Do with my life whatever you want. I'll go wherever you want. And that's when I experienced true freedom. I want to close with this. What are we doing after this? Are we going to sing a song? Are we going to, no? Are we dismissed? Can we do that? Can we sing a song? Can we close in a song? Is that okay? Yeah, it could, yeah. Let's do it. Why not? How about for this time of worship, man? Has it been awesome? Can we give a hand? Incredible. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15. God just kept bringing me to Galatians in my study for this talk. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Read this with me, guys. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. What a reminder. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettled you would emasculate themselves. Verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. For you were called to freedom, brothers. For you were called to freedom, brothers. And turn to your neighbor and just tell him, brother, you were called to freedom. Come on, tell him. You were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And feeding our faith means we are no longer obligated to sin. You've been set free from sinning. You're no longer obligated to sin. Feeding our faith means we have learned Christ, and Christ has set us free on the cross at Calvary, dying on the cross in our place for our sins. True love. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Feeding our faith means cultivating a deep inner relationship with the Spirit of God, whose hope is in Jesus and only in Jesus. Feeding our faith means growing in the call of freedom by our love and service for one another. By our love and service for one another. And I believe as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, friends, I'm here to tell you, you will be filled. You will be filled. You will be satisfied. You stand with me tonight, and then I'm going to close in prayer. So Jesus, I just thank you for my friends here tonight, Lord. God, what a sight to see. People of all ages, men of all ages, coming together, taking their weekend. They could be doing anything else. They could be anywhere else. Dedicating time, carving out space to feeding their faith, to nourishing their faith, to getting to know you more, to growing closer to you. God, and we stand on your word that says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not our righteousness, not my righteousness, not my good deeds, my good works, not my efforts, not checking boxes, not traditions, not duties. God, but seeking wholeheartedly the person of Jesus Christ. God, we want Jesus. So Lord, would you bless all of my brothers that are in this room tonight? God, would you fill them afresh? God, would you reveal yourself to them, maybe in a way they've never seen you before? God, would you speak to them? Maybe some of them have been following you for years, and maybe they've just grown silent in hearing your voice Maybe they haven't heard you speak in a while. God, would you open their ears to hear? Would you open their eyes to see all that you have? That you're madly in love with them. That you're near, that you're not far off. That you're not distant, but you're close. God, I thank you that we can dwell together in unity, lifting up your name, proclaiming your name. God, give us an appetite for the things of God. Give us an appetite for prayer. God, give us an appetite for worship. God, give us an appetite, God, for sitting down and turning off our phones and music, Lord, and just diving into your scripture. Give us an appetite and a hunger for the word of God, for the truth of God, for the love of God, for the grace of God. Give us an appetite for those things. May we crave and consume those things. May our appetite, our spiritual appetite, lead us to you and you alone. We love you. Pray all these things in your name. And everyone said, amen.